Yes, it is. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer on WBEN. Joe, it is December 12th, bright and sunny outside, and there are still two giant skeletons in my neighborhood.
Oh, all right. Santa hats?
No.
Oh, it's not even attempted.
Just skeletons. Now, there is one that also has a bunch of blow-up things, and I think they just turned the skeleton to make it look like it was terrorizing the blow-up things. It doesn't work. No. It's just, take it down.
I noticed one skeleton. I was heading to my parents, and it's on Harlem Road in Amherst, and there was a skeleton still up in some other Halloween decorations. Now, this was last week. Maybe they've taken it down since then, but you had a skeleton and some of those fake headstones in the front yard. So, I mean, they are getting the most out of their Halloween decorations.
I always kind of, like, I don't want to be too harsh because I'm always thinking the worst. Like, what if one of those headstones are the owners of the house? Right? And that's why the decorations are still out there. So I'm always like, but I know when there's also Christmas decorations or every other Halloween decoration is taken down, the giant skeleton, two of them.
It's not easy.
Terrorizing my neighborhood in North Tonawanda.
You can't store those. You got to disassemble. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Yeah, disassemble them and put them away for the season.
Yeah, which is why I don't have one to begin with.
Yeah,
I would love to have one. Not, you know, taking that down.
Yeah. No thanks.
No thank you. Thanks for stepping in for me yesterday. I had to leave early. A little, kids are sick. You gotta throw everything out the window and
that time of the year
figure out what the heck you're gonna do. So that's we're running on fumes, which if my wife is listening to me, she's probably like, yeah, right, you got the easy part of it. I got probably 2 hours sleep.
Oh,
she got probably 30 minutes sleep.
Okay,
I got the easy part of it.
But what is the better position, right? Because sometimes they say if you don't get a lot of sleep, don't get any sleep, right? Because
say that? Who says that?
They.
That's, I think they need to lose their medical license. That doesn't sound right at all to me.
Am I getting bad advice?
I don't know if that's it. 803-0930 to join us here on WBEN. It is BMAZ and Beamer. So, Joe, I mentioned at the end of the show, so I had something. I was thinking of you twice while this video. I don't know how it came across it, on Twitter or Facebook or wherever. But, you know, all of these videos pop up of people. And it was somebody in an abandoned building. So I know you like to watch those things. It was an abandoned movie theater that had not been touched. It looked like just 2020. I mean, just, you know, pandemic, shut down, never touched or reopened again.
Those are my favorite abandoned videos. It's literally a time capsule.
Yeah, it's a 2020. And so, it's the movie theater, just how it would have been. You know, almost 4 years ago now, in the movie theater, they're walking through all of it, pressing like, oh, wow, some of the machines still work, like the slushy machines are still spinning and everything like that. Packs of candy.
Yeah.
Would you eat it?
Packs of candy.
I know you're very much the expiration dates, you know, all that kind of stuff. They had a huge box of packs of Twizzlers. And I'm just thinking, like, there's no way I'm leaving without that box. It doesn't matter if that design on the package is, like, two generations ago.
Is there an expiration date on Twizzlers?
If there is, I think it's kind of made up.
Okay.
It's sugar. As long as it's not wet, right? Like, it's fine.
See, and that would be my number one thing. Here's a building that has not been taken care of for 4 years. Was it in a room with a leak?
So here's the other part of the thing.
Okay.
So, well, just on its face, Twizzlers unopened in a package, sitting in a box, appears dry.
Yeah, I can't imagine I would question it. I'd probably eat it.
Okay. Now, here's the second part to this, is they're looking around the snack. Something's been tampered with. Like the popcorn, there's stacks of popcorn, but there's also popcorn kernels spread out across. You don't know if that's someone else who went through this abandoned building or a rat.
Yeah, and that's when I'm not having any of the food.
So you're throwing all the food out.
Yeah. As soon as I know there's been infestation, I'm not going to inspect every bag once there's one.
Why not?
Once there's proof, unless I keep everything in some kind of, you know, airtight storage container, which, you know, most people do in their pantry. But if there's been signs of something else being there and there's food laying out or bags laying out, that is trash.
Oh, come on. Just taste a Twizzler. What's the worst that's going to happen?
I mean, I do love Twizzlers. But, but I would have to... I would probably feel sick eating it, so I'd have to say no.
You've never eaten anything that might have come in contact with a mouse?
No.
You sure?
To my knowledge.
Never been camping, like see one scurrying around? I wonder where that mouse has been.
You got me on that, Brian. I am not a camper.
And never in your own house? It's happened to me in my own house before. I remember a kid like taking some snacks out of the cupboard. I was like, this has a tear on it. Took another snack, and I was like, wait a second, this tear looks like a bite. I think there's a mouse or something going through the snacks in the cupboard.
Well, this might be where I get a lot of my
still ate it.
My issue. Oh, see, that's this might be where I get a lot of my issues from. So we had a mouse in our basement when I was a kid, and my parents took the garbage cans downstairs, and literally everything that was in that room ended up in the garbage can. And ever since then, they've stored stuff in airtight, you know, containers that nothing can get into.
There's one mouse, and just the entire room's got to go.
Gone.
All your family heirlooms.
Potatoes, cat treats,
magic
dog treats.
Magic genie bottle.
No. Anything that was edible. We're talking about a food closet.
I thought.
No. A food closet. Everything
Christmas
was in the
decorations.
Trash.
Just new tree. It's everything.
No. There might be mouse poop in this yearbook.
Yeah. All right. So that's a no for you on the Twizzlers. I'm taking the whole box. I mean, that's just a gold mine.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't eat it, but I would be very fascinated to walk around that movie theater. Just like I saw someone walked around the old Wonder Bread facility here in Buffalo. I am jealous of that person.
Yeah. We were talking about cookies the other week. I made some cookies. You can call them Christmas cookies because I used red and green M&Ms. Nice. Some M&M sugar cookies. I'm not much of a baker, but I was reading a book that we got at the library with my son. At the end of the book about hungry warthogs, there was a recipe for, and you know, hey, can we make the cookies? Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say no to that.
Can't screw up M&M cookies.
The next day we made them. He wanted to make one giant cookie. You can screw up M&M cookies. So the day after that, I made a whole another batch. And now I got all these cookies lying around.
The giant cookie didn't work out?
You cut it up, like half of it worked out. The other half is just like stuck to the pan. It's like a chip.
I like the idea, though. I do like the idea.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in theory, would have been great.
Giant
nice
cookie.
Big cookie cake. But I think that's my favorite cookie. The sugar cookie with the M&Ms inside. They used to be the go-to at Mrs. Fields. They ruined those cookies at Mrs. Fields ever since they changed them. You know, they used to be like baked sugar cookies with M&Ms inside. That's what I made. You don't have to be a great baker. They're still great.
Right.
Now, they're like this packaged, it looks like out of a sugar cookie, like packaged.
Like the tube?
No, just like out of a wrapper.
Yeah.
Like just you took and then sprinkled M&Ms on top. Not the same, not good.
No. I have to say, I've not been to Mrs. Fields. To go back to what you guys were talking about this morning, I have not been to Mrs. Fields since they left the Boulevard Mall. I have not been
Which
to the
that's
one.
That's been a long time.
Yeah, I have not been to the one in the Galleria.
I was just going to ask, is that still in the Galleria?
Yes.
I will not go because they changed. We used to go all the time. Buy one, get two free, or was it buy two, get one free? Whatever it was, the three cookie deal.
Yeah.
Get two M&M and one chocolate chip. Perfect. Walking around. I mean, we used to do that all the time. Then they changed their recipe. Never again. You lost a customer.
And no offense to Mrs. Field, but, you know, I mean, you got cookie places popping up all over the place now. And there are some cookie places that if you go there to pick up someone else's order, they'll give you one for free.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Perks of the job.
Well, I need to stop eating cookies, what I need over the last couple of days.
There's a lot of things I need to stop eating. I mean, my pants are barely fitting this morning.
Yeah. Did you see the Sabres game last night?
I did. Back in the winning streak.
Good game. You know, nice to have the Sabres go. We'll get to a part of that in a second. Did you see Rob Ray last night? I mean, that's the big story of the game.
I sure did.
Rob Ray, who, if you don't know, he's on color commentary during the games. He is between the benches during the home games. Took a puck to the head during the game yesterday, right in between the eyes. I mean, just like right, boom, square in the middle of the forehead. And he carried on like it was nothing.
Took it like a champ.
I mean, you would think he might actually be a guy who's used to taking blows to the face.
You think?
Yeah. But, I mean, it just came up, boom, deflects, hits him in the face, and, yeah, he kept the headset on, flinched, wiping blood off of his face with the towel.
Gave his next report.
Yeah, put a sticker on it, and he was good to go.
Now, was Rob Ray, I know he wasn't the first to do it because TSN's been doing it forever, was he one of the first regional guys to do it in the NHL?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. All right.
He might have been the first guy to do it. Like, they did it on NBC with Pierre Maguire.
Right. And then didn't TSN do it for a while before?
He might have been the first period to do it. Like, I think that started with the Sabres broadcast.
That's
I
awesome.
Might be mistaken, but I do think he was one of the first to do it. Now, when RJ, do you remember when RJ was, they had him do a game between the benches.
And
he wore a helmet.
Yeah.
Turns out to be a smart decision.
Prediction. Rob Ray will still not have a helmet next
year. No, you can't. Absolutely not. But that was awesome to see. I mean, not for him, but I think for everybody. Like, kind of enjoyed, like, look at how tough our Rob Ray still is.
Hey, remember Rob Ray. Yeah, remember Rob Ray.
Yeah.
Tough guy.
Blood on the ice. Hey, still bleeding on our ice.
You see that guy between the two benches? That's something the Sabres don't have.
Yeah. Well, you know, they might have it again.
Yes, they might have it again. Maybe.
Get to that in a second. But it, you know, makes me think. So he took a puck to the face of the game. Is there an unexpected, like, who's got the best story out there? An unexpected workplace injury.
Ooh.
Like, who's got an injury on the job that's not like, you know, we're not talking about a construction worker with a piece of equipment or, like, you know, someone who drops something on their foot, you know, carrying around heavy equipment all the time. Like, that is bad, that stinks, but it's not necessarily unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of one of those things that come with a dangerous job. But for all of you who are out there and just, you know, work a normal job, what would be, like, the unexpected injury you've had on the job?
Burning your hand on the space heater?
Is it? Have you done that here?
Close.
It's not like quite hot enough to get a good burn. I guess if you stick your hand in there, you can really get that.
Oh yeah, especially if it's been running for a few hours.
Yeah.
By the time Bowerly gets in here, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near that thing.
Have you had like a on the job injury that?
No, but you might say this one's unexpected. So I was working overnights in retail, as you know. When I was Bowerly's producer, I was working overnights at Bed Bath & Beyond. We would stock the shelves. That was our job. And I should have been wearing pants, but it was in the middle of the summer, and I dropped a plate, Brian, and it jumped up and cut my leg. I had to close the store down and go get stitches in my leg.
Oh, just like that big of a gash?
Oh, yeah. It was. I had to call my manager and say, hey, no one's going to be there. I had to send the other guy home. I'm in the emergency room.
Good. A major plate accident.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Oneida just got me.
And it was just like the last time that I had an injury where I had to get stitches. That was more my fault. I, you know, went on the ice where people had skates and I was wearing flip-flops and someone stepped on me. Different story. But it was the kind of thing where I'll contain this. I wiped paper towels around my leg so I could clean up the mess, but then the paper towels were literally drenched in blood and I was leaving a trail. So I had to get stitched up, and then when the store reopened...
Store closed, bloody trail, walking out the door, like, what happened here?
So, well, that's why I made sure my store manager knew what was going on, and then I said, I'll be there once I'm out of here to clean up the mess. I don't expect anyone else to do it, and we didn't open until 9, so I was able to get stitched up and go there and clean up my mess.
I did not partake in this, but this was the one... This would be an unexpected injury. There used to be a game that was played at McDonald's back in the kitchen. Now, I'm not saying this happens.
You could write a book with your McDonald's stories.
And I was not there long. where you'd take a pickle, put it in the fryer, and then take it out, slap it on your forearm. Ooh. Who can last the longest?
Oh, my gosh.
And everyone, so I was not, you know, I have no interest in doing the fried pickle challenge in the kitchen, but that was one where everyone was walking around with a big welt on their forearm from the injury.
So if you go to McDonald's and see someone with a welt on their forearm, you know what's going on.
Yeah, you know they're doing they're having a good time back there, which is that's all that matters. What
was the record?
Oh, you know, who knows? The record was we all had a good time. That's yeah, except the
you,
record was the memories
you didn't
made.
Partake.
I didn't partake. You know, I was, you know, big Debbie Downer,
well,
I guess.
I liked the story up until you put it on your arm part because I love fried pickles. I thought there was a new recipe at McDonald's.
Well, no. There's a big rule that you cannot eat any of the... There's no free food. That's a big time rule. So you can't eat.
You can put it on your arm.
You can take it. Hey, no one ate anything. We're not eating it. Are we wasting it? You know, some would say yes. Some would say no.
So no free food?
You got like a certain allotted dollar amount at the end of your shift.
Every shift?
Every shift.
Oh, okay.
Which was not a lot. I wonder what that amount is now because the prices have jumped up so much. It was like enough for me to get the extra large milkshake and maybe like a fry.
Oh.
Maybe a fry.
Yeah.
But that's about it. It was not that much.
See, that's my favorite thing about working in the food industry was we get free slices of pizza.
When I worked in the ice cream shop, it was...
Different story.
Joe, it is a wonder. My cookie eating now is nothing on my ice cream eating back then. Here, I would say my like on-the-job injury
is... Well, because you were out in the field.
...is super lame. I would have expected it to be... Like, this is where I was just... I saw it. It was like you're... Everything flashing before your eyes, like I'm just going to make a huge fool out of myself. When they christened the new USS Little Rock here in Buffalo,
okay,
which had a great career as a battleship,
it really did.
Getting stuck in the lakes on its way out to sea, and retired like 13 months later.
And you were there for the kickoff.
Great job. That's billions of dollars later. Anyway,
was that the ship that you jumped onto?
So, yeah, so that is the thing I was expecting. Like, this was what I, for all equipment, our live on the air equipment. I've got my usual bag full of stuff to record things with and notepads and everything. The live equipment, I'm like all strapped up. I'm wearing a big coat and, you know, jeans and dressy shoes, Doc Martin dress shoes, but, you know, like they're shoes, not sneakers or anything.
For the big event.
And to bring us onto the ship as it was coming into Canal Side, we took a small Coast Guard ship out into Lake Erie, and we had to jump into the big, like, bay door on the side of the Little Rock. And here I am all strapped up with all this stuff. I'm like, so I'm, the way on the ship is to jump from this ship to the other in the middle of Lake Erie. Okay. So I did it, but that was one of those moments where I'm like, this is going to be the, I'm making the news right here. Like, I will fall into the middle of Lake Erie.
Yeah, fall into Lake Erie.
I saw someone else do it, and I'm like, all right, I have to make this jump or else this is going
to
be embarrassing.
So everyone in the media had to make that jump.
Everyone who was on the ship there
and
had to.
Everyone cleared it.
I didn't hear any man overboard, so. Okay. I'm pretty sure everyone was accounted for at the end of the day, but that was the one. No, it's the lamest story ever. Covering the convention, the Republican convention in Cleveland in 2016, I carrying all that equipment around Cleveland for a week, and I mean like carrying it around for hours a day, just like strapped up with all this stuff, carrying big suitcases, walking around the city, talking to people. When I got back here the next week. For the first and only time in my life, I went to see a chiropractor. My back was thrown out so hard.
By roaming the streets of Cleveland with a bunch of stuff on?
Joe, I was in here at our news meeting, like, you thought I was in traction. Like, I laying down on this not very great furniture to lay down on, as you know.
Yeah.
From having to stay here. That's my workplace injury that Rob Ray's way cooler than mine.
Way cooler, but you know what we just did? Can you believe for the second day in a row, WBEN being at that convention has been a topic?
What was it?
David talked about it yesterday.
What about it?
He was talking about Alex Jones being there and Bowerly's Bowerly being on the air. Yeah.
What a scene when that happened. I probably have a picture on my phone somewhere. I mean, that was...
You were right there as well?
The police... were there following the...
And Bowerly started talking to the police?
I don't remember exactly. I just remember it being like, wow. And our boss being there like, wow, didn't expect that. That was wild. A couple of you weighing in on the text board, your workplace accent. We'll get to that in a moment when we return after the news with Lucas on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Thanks for hanging out with us. All right, on our text board, we were talking about your strange workplace injury after Rob Ray last night, while on the job in between the benches, got hit in the face with the puck, started bleeding from the right in the middle of the forehead between the eyes, and still finished out, not only finished out the game, but he just kept right on going. He was took it like a champ. He was fine. I mean, you'd expect nothing less. But what's the strangest way you've gotten injured on the job? A couple of people on our text board this morning. Someone saying that when they worked in fast food in high school, they were carrying a large pot of chili, slipped on the floor, fell. I mean, this is like out of the office. Chili dumped all over me, and I fractured my wrist.
Oh, my gosh.
Fortunately, the chili was not heated. I mean, that's a... You're messy and you got a broken wrist.
Yeah.
What do you take care of first?
Well, that's a great question. Probably the mess, but you can't because you have a fractured wrist.
The mess on you. I'm not concerned about the store. The store can just, I'm walking out of there. Yeah, like you.
Yeah. I mean, I got to go get some help, but I don't want to approach someone covered in chili. Yeah. So
taking a shower, finding some way, and then going taking care of the wrist.
By the way, talk about like... Number one, you're in pain because of your fractured wrist, but I don't think... I love chili, but nothing grosses me out more than, like, cold chili that's been sitting in a fridge. Ugh, now it's all over me.
Fast food chili.
Yeah.
Cold. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. Someone else saying that they were standing on the bottom of a filing cabinet drawer. Someone opened the top of the other cabinet and hit their head on a... I don't even know how this happens. But we're bleeding from the head inside the office. I mean, there you go. You know, workplace injuries. You don't have to be, you know, it's like when you look at the job postings, like must be able to lift
50 pounds,
20 pounds, yeah. You know, like whatever it is, or like must be able to sit down. Like,
if I hadn't gotten the stitches, and I know jokes will be made of this, but if I hadn't gotten the stitches, my biggest workplace injuries would probably have been the amount of times that I've stood up not realizing where I was and hit my head on something. I've done that here in the other room. I did that a ton of times at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Where would you do that here?
So to turn on a computer, you have to go under the console over there to get to the modem.
Like on any given seat, I can't think of anything that's above your head other than the ceiling.
So you have to go and, you know, if a computer crashes in there, I got to go turn it back on. And a few, I think just once, maybe twice, but I think it was once on a Sunday morning. I was tired and I misjudged where I was and started to stand up.
I mean, no, that'll happen.
Yeah.
Smack your head. I mean, and you smack your head good like that. That'll leave a mark.
Well, especially if you're standing up and you think there's nothing above you, you're jumping up, right? You're getting up quick and then you hit your head.
Something like that'll happen. Yeah, totally get that. Elsewhere on the Sabres game, so they won 5-2 last night.
Yes.
Rob Ray kind of like it was the cap on what was a pretty good night for the Sabres. If you look at the box score here, toward the top of the list, you've got, let's see, did they take a point? Oh, no, he's just under. You've got 2 points for Connor Clifton. Kyle Okposo, the captain, a goal and two assists. Goal for Peyton Krebs, and a goal and two assists for Eric Robinson, the newest Sabre, who's had a pretty nice feeling. You know what all these players have in common, Joe?
What's that?
They're all players who the internet told me were absolutely terrible and should be off the team. And they're the only guys over the last few games who are getting to the front of the net and doing what needs to happen to win. So it was a perfect, really the last week of watching the Sabres, but last night was like the perfect thing to look at and say, maybe everyone on the internet who likes to talk all the time actually, they don't know what they're talking about most of the time.
That's why they have to say it on the internet, because in real life, no one's listening to them.
Yeah, is that it? I mean, like, that's everyone. We traded for this guy, Eric Robinson, and everyone's like, oh, this guy stinks. Like, he's the worst. He was on waivers. Like, he's the worst player. Like, why would we even bother getting him? And, like, he's been the team's best player almost every game since we got him.
He's noticeable.
So, that's different. So, don't believe everything you read on the internet. This new out of CNBC is where this is from. More than 15% of teens say they're on YouTube or TikTok almost constantly. So, it doesn't seem like we're going to have a very well-informed generation coming up.
But that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, if you see TikTok, right, Obviously very popular. And then YouTube was like, hey, wait a minute. We already did videos. Mm-hmm. Let's do shorts on our app. And it obviously is taking off because people are going on YouTube. Hey, I can watch videos and TikTok-like shorts. That's not surprising at all. I actually am surprised that that number's not higher. With the amount of people that I see on their phone, the amount of crap you see on the internet, I'm surprised it's not higher.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, more than 15% say they're on only these two specific apps and almost constantly. So, like, you know, absolutely glued to them. 93% say they regularly use that. And how many people who are on it almost constantly would say, like, oh, yeah, I use it a lot.
Yeah.
Not, you know, almost constantly, right? Let's see, where else? 16% say they're almost constantly visiting or using YouTube. 63% for TikTok, and Snapchat is the next, which that one kind of surprised me. 60% Instagram, 59%. So they're both right there in popularity with teens. I thought Snapchat was kind of...
I thought it was on the way out.
Yeah, maybe that's just us growing older, though.
Yeah, but if like I want a 24-hour story, I just put on Instagram now. I'm already on there. I don't need the other app.
Yeah, but maybe that's a...
Yeah, maybe
that's... I don't know. It's just the age thing or something like that, but so many people... on their phones constantly. And you mentioned it, Joe. I was noticing this last night when I was looking around. I took my oldest to karate, and everyone around the lobby is just like in on their phones.
The parents?
Yeah. Just, you know. And I mean, it's not like there's much to critique in a 3-year-old's back kick, but you do kind of want to watch a little bit of what's going on.
Anywhere you go, you see people glued to their phone. You'll see it in the grocery store. Like, you know, on their phone while they're shopping, like, I want to get the heck out of there. I know what I need. I'm picking up four things.
I hate being on my phone at the grocery. I have to, though, because I'll get yelled at if I don't look at the list.
Yeah, you do have to check, like, hey, is this, you know, picture, is this what I'm supposed to get?
And I always feel like I'm in someone's way because I cannot navigate. I can barely navigate and know where everything is and where people are in the grocery store when paying full attention. It is the complete opposite of the road. Like, driving from here to home, I know exactly where I am, like, every step of the way. I know when people are going to merge on, like, when to shift. Like, I just know it.
Yeah.
I can be in the grocery store twice a week, same store. I still don't know where anything is, and people are going at unpredictable pace. You don't know where anyone else is. Being on my phone on top of that, it drives me nuts.
Well, that's me at Wegmans on Sheridan. And you know me. I am a shop-as-I-need-it person. I am not a weekly shopper. So I'm in the grocery store almost every day. And ever since they refigured that store, I still can't find certain things. Or I'll think, oh, this is in aisle 16. Oh, no, they've moved the iced teas now, are not with the energy drinks. I have to go back 6 aisles. That's me in the grocery store. That's why I'm not glued to my phone, because I'm looking at the product to make sure I'm in the right aisle, not making a fool of myself.
Yeah.
But I think another thing about people just always looking at their phones, like at karate, you know, is it people's way to cope with them being socially awkward?
Oh, 100%.
Right, like, I
think that's spot on.
Like, I don't want to, you know, talk to you, so I'm just going to look at my phone. Or I don't want someone to come approach me, so I'm just going to look at my phone. It's kind of part of the problem, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think it's that, like, social, like, not really wanting to or knowing how to talk to other people. I think it's 50-50. I think it's that mixed with, people are just uncomfortable with themselves. Like, people are so constantly, like, on, whether it's online or listening to something or, watching TV, you know, doing something to occupy themselves. Like, people can't possibly just be with themselves for a moment. And I see it all the time. Sauna at the gym or anywhere you go. Like, you go in there. You're not taking, or at least I'm not. I wouldn't think to bring your headphones or your phone. Like, I would think it would break.
You say that, keep that in the locker.
You're in a really hot room. But people bring it in there all the time because they don't want to just sit there by themselves with nothing. I like sitting there by myself with nothing, or, you know, going for a run. I don't like anything on, like, no music, no anything. I don't bring my phone. Like, it's just you there. Joe, you go to sit at a bar. You're meeting someone there. Everyone's always pulling out their phones first thing, and you're looking through. It's like no one's comfortable just kind of being of their own. I get, like, weird looks when I go to concerts by myself all the time. People are like, "What? You go by yourself?" I'm like, "Why not?" Like, yeah. I like the band. I'm not really when the music's going on. I'm not talking to anybody. When it's not, walk around, talk to somebody, just do your own thing, hang out, watch. Like, there's a million things to do where you're going.
Hey, go to a bar, wait for somebody. Yeah, hey, sit at the bar, talk to the bartender. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, for real, but you know? There's none of that going on anymore.
Now, you are a better runner than I, because I cannot run unless I have something in my ears. Maybe that's just in my head, but I have to run with something going on in my ears. But the sauna, that to me just seems so relaxed. Just be there in your thoughts. You know what I mean? You don't need anything else. You don't need to add.
You tell me you're never with your thoughts, though. You always have something on.
No, there can be times where, like at night, when I have the spa music, I can be in my thoughts.
But you got the music on.
Well, yeah, but that's just background noise. I don't need that. I don't need to focus on that. It's not like a
music. But you have background noise on.
You're right. I don't like silence. I think that's different than being uncomfortable with myself. I just don't like silence.
I wonder what the difference. We need like a psychologist.
We do.
What the difference is between the two.
Can we make that tomorrow's show?
To me, sure. Yeah. That's like to me that's the focal point of going for a run is just silence or you know whatever's around you.
Here's my problem. If I'm in the silence, then I focus too much on like the first pain that pops up, and then but that's how I've always been. I've always needed some kind of music or like a show. Like when I do the Lockport 10 this year, I'm gonna do half with music, half with the podcast, and that's just how I. That's how I've always functioned.
We were talking workplace injuries. We'll go to Neil in Forestville. Neil, you're on WBEM. What's yours?
Good morning, gentlemen. I was a ski instructor, so hit all kinds. Twisted knees. I got hit once. Frostbite. You name it. A wind hit. I was snow blind once.
Jeez. Are you still with it? You're breaking up a little bit, though.
Neil.
I wish like the unexpected one would be I was a ski instructor, the hot cocoa like spilled all over you, and I got burned being a ski instructor. That would be like, whoa, out of nowhere. You can't really say Rob Reyes was unexpected. He sits between the benches in a game where pucks are flying all over the place. It's amazing it took this long to happen.
That's what I was just going to say. It's amazing this is the first. He had to go get some stitches after that, don't you think?
I guess we'll see. I don't know if they're on TV. I think they're on TNT tomorrow night at 10. I was going to say we'll see at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. I think it's a national broadcast.
It's a TNT doubleheader.
So, I'm not 100% sure. Joe, another story that caught me by surprise, and maybe this is the, like, you know, don't believe everything you read online. Ford is decreasing production of its all-electric F-150 Lightning pickup truck. After the new year, they said yesterday, the quote is, "We'll continue to match production to customer demand." They declined to provide specifics about the changes to their Rogue Electric Vehicle Center, but the change is the latest in a series of moves by Ford, others in the industry, to pull back a little bit on electric vehicle production because people aren't really taking it up as much. Joe, I have to say, this is one where I thought I was wrong. I would not drive a full EV personally. I have a plug-in hybrid. I do drive electric like most of the time, but I couldn't buy an EV right now. But this truck is one I thought they would not be able to make enough of and keep up with demand. I'm actually surprised at this one.
Seemed like I had all the bells and whistles.
Like, it's not for, it's this specific vehicle.
Yeah.
More so than, like, electric vehicles.
The three-day generator? I thought that was going to sell a ton.
Absolutely. So, like, that was one of the features of this. So, you have it, assuming it's, you know, charged
fully
relatively.
Charged, right.
You could, if you have the right, that's another thing, like old homes, especially this area. If you have the right system installed in your home, your car could act as a whole home backup generator if the power goes out by like kind of reversing, you know, it's charging, power goes out, truck knows what's going on, it reverses it and puts the power back into your home. I mean, that's just one of a bunch of cool things that I thought this could do. And it looked like a regular F-150 for the most part.
What is the mileage per charge that will really get EVs off the ground?
Well, right now they're pushing around 300,
yeah.
And that's clearly not enough.
No, and what, an hour to charge? Like, what's the charge
that's
time?
That's the thing. It's, I think you could do 300 if you had reliable, fast chargers everywhere.
If I could go to the bathroom and my car is charged.
Yeah, or at least charged enough to bring you, a, you know, 2 hours on the road.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's like, so I want to say like, oh, 500 miles, but even if you don't have, then like, okay, you go 500 miles, it's still going to take you 12 hours to fully charge, or 6 hours, whatever, 2 hours.
You're right. It's both things. It's not just one.
I think it's that even more so than the,
yeah,
than the mileage
it's
count.
It's the fast, you need the fast charging. Hey, I love the idea of not having to pay for gas. Believe me. The way gas is up and down, we're going to have more expensive gas here in Erie County after the month of February. I love the idea of not having to pay for gas, but I also like to road trip.
You're paying for electricity. I mean, it's,
I know.
Here, it's not as much as filling your tank up all the time, but I mean, you are still paying for the
That's
fuel.
A good point. Yeah.
It's not like it's a complete, you know, whoosh, no more fuel cost. So you do still pay for that. I do like the, I get the charging speed, availability of charging stations. Like, I totally 100%. The affordability of EVs remains a sticking point for people. I don't quite get that. Only because the cost has come down a little bit for the EV, and the cost of everything else is shooting way up.
Yeah.
And then you factor in all the tax breaks they give you and the incentives to buy one of them. You're getting almost, you know, $8,000 back in New York State if you buy one of these vehicles if they qualify for the tax credit. I mean, that's a pretty big incentive to go. I really think it's not so much about the affordability of the car and more so about those other two things.
100%. Especially in Buffalo with mm-hmm. or any cold weather
That's
city.
The thing. You're losing a lot of that mileage
yes.
every single winter when it gets cold.
And you need a dependable car that, you know how far you're going to be able to get on it when, you know, hey, it's going to snow. Well, I got to go to work.
That's the thing. You know, say something about this 98 Lumina. But I know that I fill it with gas, and it's going to go X amount of miles. You know, yeah. Even gas mileage is less so in the winter. But, like, I know it's going to do this. Like, I'm going to be able to stop here and fill it up and whatever. Like,
right.
There is a – for an it might be rusted out on the bottom, like a sense of unreliability about it. But there are certain things that are reliable about that car that you are just not going to get out of a new technology.
That's the problem.
Workplace injury, Joe in West Seneca, you're on WBEM. What's yours before we go?
So I was working in a kitchen, and I was serving soup, and I spilled it all over my foot, and I had to go to the burn treatment center.
Oh, it through the shoe, Joe?
Through the shoe, yes, and through the sock.
Yikes.
That's some hot soup.
How long did that keep you off your foot?
About almost a whole summer.
Come
oh,
on.
Wow.
Oh, I feel bad for you. Was that your last time in the kitchen, or?
No, I was just more careful.
Yeah, that's a way to be. Hey, Joe, thanks for the call. That's a good one to end on. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That is, yikes.
I do like soup, though.
Yeah, see, I've never been a soup guy.
Even like in the cold of winter?
Even, you know, like a hot tea or a hot chocolate, I don't like it piping. Like hot drinks, hot liquids. Not a huge fan.
Well, I don't like anything. I put ice in my coffee when I drink it because I like it medium, but I do like a hot soup, especially in the winter. Like, I don't want it in the middle of summer, but like a hot soup yeah. in the middle of February.
No, I get the appeal.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try it. Maybe this will be my soup renaissance.
This February. February is the best month. February should be soup month.
National Soup Month?
National Soup Month.
Well, it can be Soup Month here. We'll make it happen. Tomorrow, by the way, SPCA Radiothon, and a lot of great stuff going on. But still to come today, you got David, Tom, and the News with Lucas.
And Tom after that?
Sorry.
No, the other Tom. We'll be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. here on News Radio 930 WBEN.